You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead. Take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Mike, sure, we normally bring you on to talk about baseball things, but today we must begin with one of the major pieces of news of the day. And that, of course, is the retirement of Blake Bortles. How devastating is that to you?
You're breaking the news to me. I hadn't
what?
Heard.
Yeah, Blake yeah. Bortles is retiring from professional football.
Huh. A legend. A straight up legend. You know, we made Jason Mendoza on The Good Place a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, and Joe Mandy, who was a writer for the show, decided that at a key moment when throwing a Molotov cocktail at a speedboat, which is like the dirtbaggiest thing you can possibly do, that Jason Mendoza would yell Bortles the way that some people yell Kobe when they take shots or whatever. He just threw that in. And so then we just had Jason Mendoza say Bortles all the time. It became like a running joke. A large number of people on Twitter would say, if the Jaguars were playing a primetime game, a large number of people on Twitter, if you searched for Blake Bortles, would say, today I learned that Blake Bortles is a real person and not a made-up character from The Good Place. So eventually the Jacksonville Jaguars PR people reached out to us and they were like, hey, we're so happy that you are mentioning the team and Blake all the time. And privately, we were like, you are? Like, it's not in a positive context, you know? But they were really happy and they were really cool. They arranged for Manny Jacinto, who played Jason, to go to a Jacksonville playoff game, the game where they won at home, like 10-3. I think they beat the Steelers. He was at that game. They like brought him, like they rolled out the red carpet. They sent us an enormous box. We got an enormous box one day sent to the office that was full of Blake Bortles signed footballs and jerseys. Like I have like 7 signed Blake Bortles footballs.
How
in my
are
office.
We informing seven you of this? Way. How are we informing? How are we breaking
it's 7
the
o'clock
news
in the morning
to
in Los Angeles.
I woke up at 6:15 to like had some cereal and turned on Zoom so I could join your little show there.
Oh,
I
again haven't checked the, our I haven't checked the news. Show. Yeah. Again, with our little show, this guy.
While we're eulogizing Blake Bortles, I would quickly like to point out him and Tim Tebow, the bane of Steelers fans' existence in the 21st century, beating the Steelers twice in 2018 when the Steelers had healthy Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Ben Roethlisberger, in the regular season and in the playoffs, throwing for 214 yards in a 45-42 win, when it was probably the Steelers' best chance to win a Super Bowl before Roethlisberger was
not
fired
that you're
off.
Holding on to the details. Or
right. I mean, you won two.
Bortles will always hold a special place, Mike, in my cold, black, dusty heart.
Mike, I have to be honest. I'm stunned that the Jacksonville Jaguars got on board. The whole Jason Mendoza is a character who's in hell and is talking about all of the things that are bad with Jacksonville. and
correct.
Using Blake Bortles' name to throw a Molotov cocktail at a boat, and they're like, that's our brand.
They didn't get the
Here's
joke.
Some free shit.
They did not get the joke. They didn't understand that it was an insult. They were just thrilled that anyone was mentioning Jacksonville things on national television.
I think they did get the joke, but I think that they were just happy that the team was like relevant in a pop culture way. The funniest joke, in my opinion, that we ever told about the Jaguars, and we told too many of them, is there was a moment where at one point Ted Danson's character said in like a roast format that the Jacksonville Jaguars sucked, and Jason's response was, no, we don't. All we need is an offense and a defense and some rule changes.
Whittingham, we just got done talking to Chelsea Handler, and I think she might have sort of accidentally let some stuff slip in some clues there with, it seems, you and Jeremy Teche were doing some sleuthing, and you discovered because she said Chelsea later as a show?
Yeah, so she was talking about how she is interested in getting back into late night and reference her old e-show, Chelsea Later, but her old e-show is called Chelsea Lately. And so Jeremy and I were sort of theorizing there's three things that could happen there. One, she can get her own show on a platform. Two would be to be up for The Daily Show. And three would be to be up for James Corden's empty slot on CBS and eventually take over after Stephen Colbert and have it be Chelsea Later. But I feel like that last one would kind of be the most interesting to me because it would be a network late night show, and she would have a chance to potentially host it.
Or she misspoke.
Well, there is that possibility. Mike, where
that's not fun though.
Where do you, because you're someone who loves television, what the way that late night television has changed, the way that late night television has historically been so homogenized in a way that's kind of crazy. What do you make of the changes presently going on in the sphere where Trevor Noah says 7 years is about enough. I'm going out into the stand-up circuit, and you know, Kimmel and Fallon and all of those guys, and it's almost always guys, exist viral clips in the morning more than late night television.
Yeah, it's night and day from when I was involved, which is 100 years ago at SNL. I think the thing that Trevor Noah just did is the single biggest change, which is it used to be that when you got one of those jobs, that was your job forever. You held on to that job as long as you possibly could. That was the, you know, Carson did it for 30 years or 29 years, and Letterman did it forever. And then he moved to CBS and did it for another forever. Conan did it forever and then went to The Tonight Show and would have done that forever, except for the fact that they pulled the rug out from under him. It wasn't a job that you left, really. And now what you're seeing is, you know, Stewart left after I can't remember how many years, a long time. But he left at a time when he was still incredibly popular and could have kept going for another decade, was replaced by Trevor Noah. And then after 7 years, and this is a generational thing, I think Trevor Noah was like, all right, I'm good. Like, I got out of this. This was fun. This was an experience. 7 years is a long time. I'm going to do something else. That wasn't the mentality of late night hosts until very recently. So those jobs used to come up once every 15 years or something. And now it seems like maybe they're going to come up three or four times a decade. And part of the reason is because they're not as coveted. It's not as huge a deal to be on at 11:30 or 12:30. So I think what you'll see is a lot more change in general in the next 15, 20 years than there has been in the previous 20. And they'll try a bunch of different stuff. They'll try, I'm sure that a woman will get her shot finally. It's never happened. One of the storylines in the pilot of the show Hacks is that she was going to be, the Jean Smart's character was going to be the first woman who ever got a late night talk show on a network, and that was in like the 70s, and it still hasn't happened in real life, and it's 2022. Like, it's, I mean, I guess you can count Samantha Bee, but that wasn't technically a network. So I think you'll see women get shots finally. You'll probably see more people of color get shots, and who knows how long they'll stick or decide to stick or whatever. I think there will be a tremendous amount of turnover in the next 10 or 20 years of this in this industry.
Would you include Joan Rivers in that? She had her own show on Fox before it was canceled because...
For a brief... Yeah. I guess the Joan Rivers thing was the inspiration, I think, for the Hacks storyline, because she was supposed to take over for Carson in theory, or he was thinking about turning it over to her. And then she got the offer from Fox and left and did it. And it lasted for like 6 weeks or something. And I don't think it lasted much longer than that. And then that was sort of the end of the story. And then he never forgave her. He was a pretty vindictive dude, apparently. And he was just like, never talk to her again for the rest of her life because she had done that. And then it's, you know, I guess that's true. Technically, that was a network then primetime or nighttime talk show. So, yes, got me, Roy. That's on a technicality.
That's right.
He got you.
It's all that matters.
Crushing all of our theses.
Roy jumped up and jumped on your neck. Before we get
Or I misspoke.
Yes.
How about that? Right,
there it is.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Stat of the day is coming in moments. But before you came on, Mike, we were talking about Tom Brady and Giselle, and we were talking about work-life balance. And one of the things that we did not mention were the quotes from Bennett Omalu on, he wrote the book, Brain Damage in Contact Sports. The movie Concussion with Will Smith is based on his work.
We also discussed that she might be a witch, Giselle.
A good witch, yes.
Oh, yes.
And Omalu is quoted as saying, if you love your life, Tua, if you love your family, you love your kids, if you have kids, it's time to gallantly walk away. Go find something else to do. Tua, my brother, I love you. I love you as much as I love my son. Stop playing. Stop. Hang your helmet and gallantly walk away. He should stop. Sometimes money is not more valuable than human life. $20 billion is not worth more than your brain. What are we supposed to do with that coming from that guy?
Good Lord, man. Could I ask, and maybe you don't know the answer, does he have any relationship with Tua at all, or is he speaking from afar as a
Well, he loves him as much as his son.
So does Mike Ryan, right, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a person just speaking out loud into the universe. That's not like, they're not actually friends. Am I correct?
That's correct. This is someone advised. This is a concussion expert that I am assuming has seen the footage. I'm assuming that that's not just a gas-bagging opinion. I'm assuming that he knows what it means better than most of us that his hands would do that in front of his face.
I mean, I don't know what to make of that. I don't have any idea what to make of that. And I don't know what it's like to be a high-level competitive athlete at the top of my field who has the thrills that come along with playing in front of fans and succeeding the way Tua has for his entire life and continues to have now this year. However, I don't think that he's saying anything. If you asked me to address Tua Tagovailoa and say what I truly felt in my heart, not being a concussion expert, I feel like I would say the same thing. Like, don't do this anymore. Look what happened. That was really scary. Everyone was really scared. If you have anything else in your life that you love doing, maybe go do that instead. Like, that's a concussion expert saying the thing that, whether or not you feel it now, every single person felt at the moment that they saw those images of him on the ground, which was like, this isn't okay. It's not okay that this game exists, that he's allowed to play this game. He shouldn't have been back in this game. He was concussed last week. This is terrible. He might be permanently damaged. Like, those feelings subsided, as we talked about yesterday. After 15 minutes, those feelings subsided. After another hour, they subsided more. But in that moment, can any of you really say that you were thinking anything different than get him the hell out of football forever? That's what we all felt.
Not forever. Right? Maybe that game, maybe the season, but not forever. You realize you would walk in and say that to Tua and he would laugh at you. Tua wants to play this week if he can. Right.
Of course he would. Yes. But that's the reason that the protocols exist is because the guys will always want to play. They will always want to be back in there. And so you have to physically stop them. You have to, by the letter of the law, stop them from doing things that are going to get them hurt. And I'm not saying that he should retire. I have no idea. That's not up to me. I'm just saying that in that moment, the thing that you were feeling, the sickness, the grossness in your gut, was because you, at least I'll speak for myself, I felt like this game should be illegal. This is human cockfighting. It should be outlawed. All these people should arrest them. Arrest all the people who invented football and play football. Throw them all in jail. This is not okay. And that, I feel like that's now a concussion expert just saying the same thing with a lot of understanding about the human brain and how it works.
We've got some He's Sure questions for you as well.
For God's sake.
But let's go and start with our stat of the day.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
The stat of the day is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Freddie Freeman of the Los Angeles Dodgers leads all of baseball in hits with 196. No one got 200 hits last year. So if Freeman doesn't get four hits in the final regular season game today, it will be the first back-to-back seasons where no one has had 200 hits since 1918 and 1919, when one of those guys who had 200 hits or was trying to get 200 hits was Ty Cobb. So it's been more than 100 years since no one has had 200 hits.
Wow.
And that made me think, you know what, man? It's not like it was back in the 1990s, which leads to another 90s Baseball Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's right. It's 90s Baseball Wednesday.
Yes. Oh, it's Spiced Up Wednesday.
Spiced Up Wednesday
brought to you by Bacardi, which we are currently in the middle of. So these better be some spicy 90s baseball
stats.
These are
spiced up Wednesday 90s baseball players.
Let me say one thing before we get to 90s Baseball Wednesday. I've gotten a lot of people complaining on Twitter that some of the players that we mention when we talk about 90s baseball aren't really from the 90s or more from like the 2000s or whatever. You don't understand, people. 90s baseball doesn't mean you only played in the 90s or you even played at all in the 90s.
No.
90s baseball is a state of mind.
That's correct.
Jorge Cantu never played in the 90s.
Doesn't matter.
Is absolutely a part of 90s baseball.
The spirit of the 90s, yes. Also, late 80s can be part of the 90s.
Right.
Or you spoke. The 70s, as far as I'm concerned, it theoretically goes from the 70s up to today.
It's like a contemporary music FM station. But I do think, I'm glad you said this though, Mike, because I have wanted to quibble with one or two of the names.
Oh, Jesus.
Purely on the basis of the time period
quibbling.
In which they play.
No quibble.
I'm now 100% behind the spirit of the game.
That's right. Let me ask you this. Is Ricky Weeks a part of 90s baseball?
Until you just went on that monologue, I would have said no. I would have said no, not for me.
You're wrong. Is Shea Hillenbrand a part of 90s baseball?
Oh, Shea Hillenbrand.
Never played in the 90s.
That
now you're beginning to understand it.
Okay, got it.
All right, here's the point on 90s Baseball Wednesday. I have in front of me a list of the highest individual hit totals of any season by any player in either league in the 90s. Does anyone want to guess who's on that list?
No.
You'll never guess the number one. I'm telling you right now.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn is on the list.
Can you ask the question again? It was confusing.
No,
seriously.
Jessica, no, don't ask the question again. Jessica.
No, I need it.
No, he's trying to get fired, and Jessica just said she doesn't want any more information on this. We've had enough of Mike Schur today. We don't.
I want to play the game.
You want to play the game? I want to ask him about Oda B. McDowell.
Oda B. Young again, McDowell. Yeah. That was Burma's nickname for him. Remember?
What do you have there? What more information do you have for us?
What do I have on Oda B. McDowell?
You don't have. You can't recite all.
Mike, part of your prep process for this show isn't to beef up on Oda B. McDowell knowledge.
What do you want?
How dare you?
What are you even potentially looking for on Oda B. McDowell?
He's so right. After the name, what else is there?
I thought for sure he would have a fountain of information. Maybe you can get it at the podcast with Joe Posnanski. We've got a He's Sure question, and the question is for a world-renowned.
Hey, hold on.
What happened to the 90s hitter thing?
What was the game that Mike Schur wanted to play?
I don't. It got obliterated when Dan said, "What else do you have there on Oda B. McDowell?"
Or when Jess said no.
I mean, I can read out the rest of the 1986 Texas Rangers if you want me to. Oh,
no, play the game. Play the game.
I'll just give you. Let me give you four names of guys who had very high hit totals in the at some point in the decade of the 1990s. All right, you've got B.J. Surhoff the 1990 Orioles. You've got Marquise Grissom for the Braves.
Tremendous.
You've got Vinny Castilla for the 98 Colorado Rockies.
Did he bat barehanded?
You've got Carlos Baerga and Doug Glanville. But the number one season of any for any hit total season for any season in the 90s, Lance Johnson for Stu Gatz's New York Mets in 1996. 227 hits. That was the highest hit total of any season in the 90s.
Amazing.
Isn't that wild?
Johnson.
20-year-old Ruben Sierra was on the same 1986 Texas Rangers with Oda B. McDowell.
Yep.
We have lost Jessica. Hashtag he's sure. He's a world-renowned ethicist.
Surhoff.
And the question is... Should we even watch football?
I feel like I just ranted about that for like 3 minutes, didn't I?
he definitely did. Also, he's fired.
He is fired?
What?
What do you mean he's fired?
No, we don't get to unilaterally decide who's fired. There'd have to be a vote. A jury of our peers would have to determine Mike Schur's status on the program.
Nah.
We can call a vote. This is like Parliament. We can call a vote whenever, but
he still has a job.
See you later, Mike.
Bye. Thank you, Jess, for trying.
Mike, don't forget to send me one of those Bortles jerseys.
You got it.
Thank you. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Photography's not as hard as it's made out to be. And now with computers, I mean, you can make anything look like anything, Dan. It's almost cheating. It's not fair. Yep. If you push a button and it takes 1,000 pictures, you're going to find a good one in the batch.
There were a lot of photographers there. Taking thousands of pictures. One got that photograph. Okay, good retort.
Stugatz.
Haven't you ever passed by photographers? I guarantee you when that shot was taken, we didn't just hear... That's not what you heard. If you were by that camera...
Like in my ear with that.
He does a good camera.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Jessica, has this Wednesday felt sufficiently spiced up? Do you have any stories that could spice it up a little bit extra spicy here? I think Bacardi needs to get a little more for what it is that it's sponsored today.
Well, Dan, does the name Utah connote spiciness to you?
Not quite.
No. Utes. Utah does not give off spiciness
Damn.
In general.
Okay, what
no.
if What if we're talking about a nuclear reactor in Utah?
Spicier.
Getting there. Warmer.
What if it's a student at the University of Utah threatening to detonate a nuclear reactor if Utah loses a football game?
I think we're there. Yep. No, I think we're there.
That's the proper amount of spices.
Too much. Too spicy.
Threatening if they lost, that was the threat, and what ended up happening?
So a couple weeks ago, Utah was playing San Diego State at home. And, okay, this is a question for everyone. Have you heard of Yik Yak?
No.
Nope.
No.
Jeremy has. Okay, Jeremy, when you were probably a freshman in college, that was when Yik Yak had its heyday. Does that sound accurate?
Correct.
So apparently Yik Yak is back. So this was a social
excellent
media
work,
app.
Jeremy. I don't want to hear anything else from you on the show.
He rushed to the microphone just to say correct. It was a good job by him.
I just want to hear that one word and nothing else.
Yeah, I know Yik Yak.
Okay, so if you went to college in like 2012 or 2013, 2014, you've probably heard of Yik Yak. It was this app that was sheer hell that was created by these people at Furman, I believe. And when I was a freshman at Clemson, everyone was using it. And it's basically anonymous Twitter, and it's geolocated. So if you live in Miami and you post something anonymously to it, other people in Miami see it. And so you can literally post whatever you want on it. And obviously, that's a terrible idea for a social media app. So Yik Yak got taken offline, I believe, like a year and a half or a couple years after it was invented. And then it came back, which I just found out from this news story. So this is like equal parts social media plus college football fandom. So apparently this woman who is a student at Utah, this happened a couple weeks ago, but, you know, obviously the story is so big that we still wanted to talk about it,
even though we're weeks late, it's still a nuclear reactor. It's an unusual game. I wouldn't have had it for that game. Usually the threats of nuclear reactors are not San Diego State involved.
That's kind of the thing. So she was a student at Utah. She still is, I assume. And she posted on Yik Yak, allegedly, if we don't win this game, I'm going to go detonate the nuclear reactor on campus. And the police obviously saw it and arrested her. And they were like, you can't do that. And Utah, I should add, won the game 35-7. So it wasn't even really...
A lot of pressure on my Uncle Kyle Whittingham that day.
Yeah.
The Utes are good. I like the Utes. The Utes will give you 10 wins a season the last few years.
They have a tough stretch of games coming up. They're playing UCLA this weekend and the USC the weekend after, and then Washington State, which isn't a great team, but could definitely give them fits. They famously beat Wisconsin this season. Anyways, Dan, that's not the point.
That defeat, though, on the opening weekend to Florida looks worse, though, with each passing weekend for the Utes.
It definitely does, which is why overreacting to week one non-conference games, or conference games, really, to anything, is always kind of like,
Yeah. There's one team every year that puts together the heroic performance in week one and then doesn't live up to it for the rest
of
the season.
Like Notre Dame, Texas in 2016. It was like, Texas is back. This was a crazy game. Notre Dame ended up winning four games that season, fired their defensive coordinator, almost fired Brian Kelly. Yeah. Texas, I don't even
State,
remember what
I feel
did.
Like Florida State did that for three quarters against Notre Dame.
Last season,
And then they didn't win.
And then Notre Dame
but
ended
even
up
still,
winning,
that
like,
was the heroic effort, and then they went 5-7 or whatever as they went.
And Notre Dame won 10 or 11 games last season. So it was just like, okay, it was just a close week one game. It happens. Brian Kelly threatened to execute the players afterwards. But anyway, so I was reading about...
Speaking of execution.
I was reading about the nuclear reactors on college campuses because, A, like this, it's funny in the sense that the police say there's a almost less than 0% chance that this person could actually do this. However, it is actually, like, you know, it's a serious crime.
Yeah, you cannot do that.
Don't do it. And apparently another student had also done this on Yik Yak, like, prior to this, but it wasn't nuclear reactor. It was just a bomb threat, which also, like, don't do that. But in researching this story, our friend of producer on DNF and the Fullcast After Dark, Douglas, tweeted a list of all the colleges that have nuclear reactors on their campuses. I had no idea that this was just a thing.
I had no idea there were any on any campus.
Right. If you had said that list was one, I would have been stunned. There's multiple? How many?
The University of Florida has one.
Ooh. That's a terrible idea.
Does that scare you?
Yeah.
Yes.
What about the University of Wisconsin? No? What about...
I don't want nuclear reactors
what
around...
Penn State?
18 to 22-year-olds.
I don't...
I mean, you're studying nuclear science, though.
How about the fact that Texas A&M has two? Now are you scared?
Oh, yes.
Because it's an agriculture school and a cult.
But what, I mean, Roy, you said to study them, but like, do you need to have the real, like, do you have to work with a nuclear reactor and have it on the campus? Like, I would presume the nuclear reactor then provides energy to its local area, right? Like, yeah. That's part of the reason why it's there. But that is not to be trusted in the hands of basically children.
Well, but I think what Jessica is saying is also probably true, that being able to say it on Yik Yak and actually do the labyrinth of things that you have to do to set off a nuclear reactor are probably two very different things. And one of the dumbest things you could do is that announce you're going to do
it on nuclear bomb.
And then, Dan, I made the connection finally, which I've been trying to make my entire life. That's why they call it the nuclear football. I get it now.
I don't think so.
Because if your football team loses, you find the codes and you set off the reactor.
I thought you were going to hit her with the loser game show sound. This is what I thought.
It was a really bad
silence
pun, yeah.
That you were going to fix there. Let's get to the top five list that we've still got outstanding. One of which just made an appearance. Oh no!
Oh my gosh!
Billy's in the kitchen, but that's not Billy. That's Elon Musk.
Hey, friends, remember me? I'm back. You thought I wasn't going to buy Twitter? I am. Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing good.
I'm going to buy Twitter, friend, and I'm going to turn it into an everything app. Name something.
Onion.
It's on the app. X is going to have everything, friends. Now, let's get to First Take, where we have Mad Dog and we have Stephen A., and we have Kimberly Martin also. And they were talking about the topic, QB or not QB.
Ooh.
Is now the right time for Kenny Pickett? Great question. Now, Mad Dog said, throw him in the deep end of the pool and see what you've got.
Why is my father hovering behind you? A man on the street interview you just did with my father. Why are you doing this?
Name something else, sir.
As Elon...
Black Beans.
Black Beans is going to be on X2, Dano. X is going to be the everything app. I said it yesterday on Twitter, and this is the first step in creating X, buying Twitter. Name something else.
Potato.
Potato's going to be on X as well.
I think your dad's hungry.
Yeah, he's hungry.
He really is.
He just said my app was stupid, and I don't think that's great. Stephen A. also said, by the way, going back to Kenny Pickett for a second, the Steelers are so bad that if Pickett turns them around, he should be an MVP candidate. Then we went on to Aaron Judge, and the debate became, where will Aaron Judge play next year? Will it be the Yankees, or will it be the Mets? Who will pay him the most amount of money? And the answer is, me. He's going to play for me. I'm going to start a team, and he's going to play for me, because I have all the money in the world. Name something else, sir.
Ran out of words.
He ran out of words, and that's not something that's going to happen on X the Everything app. Back to you.
Okay, thank you.
X going to give it to you.
My father, at this stage in his television career, doesn't have much in the arsenal other than foods, and he runs out after three, after building a breakfast taco, and that's all
he
had.
He didn't just like do
he's tired. Give him a break.
Brick from Anchorman, and just started looking at things and just go buy a plant.
Lamp.
How many people in the world went as to name a thing?
I don't
onion.
Know.
Onion is where they start.
I don't think when you watch Jeopardy, you realize like how quickly everything you know could ever evaporate. Because when you watch it on television, you're like, these morons. And then you actually go on the show, and I imagine it's like, wait, I've forgotten just basic facts that I know about everyday life. And I feel like that is a question where if we had like Chris Cody walk down the street and be like, name a thing, that it would like, you'd probably just look at what's closest to you. You forget all the things that you ever know.
Let's do that as an exercise. Name a thing with Chris Cody. I don't know why that report was done on First Take as Elon Musk, but Elon Musk is now buying Twitter again, and Stugatz Whittingham is with you now. You were first. Yours was the first take.
Yeah.
That called Elon Musk a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And now Whittingham's on your side.
I don't think you've ever been more right about anything in your entire life.
It might be my best take, yes. Seriously.
Which I actually would be a great spinoff. instead of First Take, The First Take. Which is, you were the first to say something, and we chronicle people who said something first. But Stugatz could not have been more right about Elon Musk. It's enough.
I had already done the he's going to buy Twitter, he's not going to buy Twitter. I had put that out of my brain. I read about these things for the sake of this program because we might talk about them. I don't give a shit about Elon Musk or anything that he does. His cars are cool. I like going to the little Tesla pop-up that's at the Aventura Mall. I like sitting in the cars. The features are cool. It's a nice car. I have a nice time. But the everyday dealings of Elon Musk, I would not spend a second, an iota of my brain energy on them if we might not discuss them for this show. And I'm glad that Stu Gatz is out there with the opinion that this guy is a quack who's just in it for the attention.
His cars blow up. They explode. His cars are cool.
That's if they make it to your driveway. I mean, they never get delivered.
Can we go back to Witty going to the Aventura Mall to go sit in a Tesla? It's like an amusement park for weird dads.
Aventura Mall?
Yes, that and the Tesla pop-up in the Aventura Mall. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a Saturday night for you.
Do you turn the seat heater on? Do you put the seat forward and backwards?
No, you play with the screen, and then there's like you can see the thing where you can upload the fart noise that becomes your horn. Yeah. You can go through all of the different features of the Tesla. I think it's a really cool thing. I wish I had a home where I could like have my whole thing solar. It seems great. Tesla products, thumbs up for me. But this whole thing where I have to pay attention to this guy's every move because it moves the stock market and people talk about it on social media and he's this guy's hero. Enough.
Well, it's not going away if he's actually going to buy Twitter, it still might not happen, but he says he's going
to. It probably won't happen.
It won't happen. Right. I'm here to tell you it's not happening.
Yeah.
It was going to be $1 billion penalty, and then the lawyers got involved, and now he is back in the game. But we cannot go any further, Stu Gatz, without getting these top five lists out. You just produced another one during the break for no reason whatsoever that I could discern. You had top five hockey names that just by virtue of their names, you can tell they were born to play hockey.
If you're born with this name, you were born to do one thing, play hockey.
That's the top five list right here. So number five.
Lindy Ruff.
Number four.
Jeff Bookaboom.
That's not a real person.
Yeah, it is.
Number three. Is.
Darius Kasparaitis. Great name.
Number two.
Stan Mikita.
Number one.
Guy Carboneau.
Christoph Oliwa not on the list.
Oh, my God. I forgot about him.
What do you mean you forgot? You can't have a top five list where you forget about things. And now, top five.
Anyone named Guy is destined to play hockey.
Yes.
Yeah, LeFleur.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but Carboneau. I mean, he was good, right?
Yeah, he was good. Yeah, he was good.
Billy, now that you're back from First Take, what do you make of my father grabbing black beans, onions, and potatoes, and then running out of material?
Not to betray confidence, but he turned to me afterwards. He said that was bad, and I go, yeah. I go, but it was not you. Like I was the bad one there. That was not good. I was like, that wasn't good by me, and that was on me. I didn't prep him. I didn't. The thing is, there's lots of things to juggle there, right? Where it was like, well, we got to do the First Take update, and we got to do an Elon Musk thing,
right?
And we got to do Poppy,
mm-hmm.
and we have a little window and a little bit of show left. So it's like, how do we get all three involved in one here?
I wish Billy good luck. I did. Yeah.
You did it as well as you could.
I don't know how that turned out. Yeah, I mean, I did it, but that's where that'll end.
But it's on you, not on Poppy.
No, 100%. Right. I didn't even tell him. He was just kind of hanging out there, and I decided to go to him and talk to him.
He could have said anything.
Number five.
Oh, what is this?
On the list of people that you would put down all of your morals if they were nearby and they were threatening to tackle you. Number five.
Steve Atwater.
He's number five?
Yes.
Wow.
Number four.
That was a bad man.
Number four.
Dexter Manley.
All good. So the good list so far. Number three.
Deacon Jones.
Number two.
Conrad Dobler.
Oh, Jesus. So old. So old. Everybody on this.
I think these people all retired before I was born.
I think she might. Well, Conrad Dobler certainly did.
That's a badass, man.
Conrad Dobler had a commercial. Did he have the commercial where he threatened somebody to knock a battery off his shoulder?
No, that was Robert Conrad.
Can you name someone that played after Y2K?
I love that, when this show exposes like when Stugatz was most passionate about sports and like could encyclopedically name all of these people, and he didn't need to research. When we do modern things, he's got to research them and look them up. But there was this period in Stugatz's life where sports was all-consuming, and I could just remember, I could cite every name off the top of my head of the 1991 Minnesota Vikings.
And number one, let's see if Stugatz can indeed name any athlete born this century. Number one.
Larry Zonka. Zonk.
He's like 230 pounds.
Oh, yeah. He would make you rethink everything.
He was okay. Giant for the time.
Speaking of people who like were born with a name that indicates what they have to do later, Magnus Carlsen, this chess grandmaster who's at the center of this whole chess cheating scandal, that guy was born to be a chess grandmaster. And the other guy who's now like challenging him, who may have cheated, Hans Niemann, was born to be someone who might have cheated at chess.
Wow.
For me, Magnus Carlsen gives off world's strongest man more than it gives off chess.
It's a Magnus.
And Hans Niemann gives off, I think, like Formula One a little bit to me.
I'm with you. Good shout.
Disagree.
Wow.
Well, there's an update to the story, which, by the way, Pablo Torre on the ESPN Daily this morning, hosting an episode about the chess cheating scandal. It was about as excited as to talk about a topic as Pablo's ever been. I mean, he was smiling ear to ear the entire time. I could hear it.
I love his happy reads.
His bag talking about chess with this guy that he had on. And apparently now the new word is that chess.com has acknowledged that they know for a fact that Hans Niemann, I guess they don't know for a fact because they said, quote, likely cheated more frequently than he admitted to while using their site.
Pablo Torre doing that story with enthusiasm is incredibly on brand for Pablo Torre.
I listened to it this morning on my way into work, and I was like, he was born.
Finally, a chess story.
Finally.
I couldn't give a shit, but Pablo really made me care about it. I'm not going to lie.
How weird is the story? Yes, please.
After the break, the surprising twist that involves anal beats.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Simply Safe. When you travel, do concerns back home nag you? Did you lock up? Did you leave a window open? That's why I recommend investing in Simply Safe Home Security today for award-winning security and peace of mind wherever your summer plans take you. I've had Simply Safe in my home for many years now. The peace of mind it gives me, especially during the summertime when I'm all over the place, is incredible. Because I know the things I care about, the things I value back home, I can always keep an eye on it using Simply Safe's indoor and outdoor cameras. So do me a favor. Before you head out on your next vacation, make sure to protect your whole home with Simply Safe's variety of indoor and outdoor cameras, plus add sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. It's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day, no contracts to worry about, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Simply Safe has given me and many of my listeners real peace of mind. I want you to have it too. So right now, get 20% off any new Simply Safe system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/DLB. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Hey listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat.
Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.